Married to Christ the King. Last night I was watching a television drama series on the life of Queen Elizabeth II entitled The Crown. Her father, King George, knowing that his death is imminent, tells Elizabeth's husband, Philip, that he will have to give up his career as a naval officer to support and love Elizabeth when she becomes queen. Then he sends them away on the Commonwealth tour in his stead. The king dies while they're away, and Elizabeth finds herself queen much sooner than she desired or expected. There is a very moving scene when her plane lands in London and Philip steps forward to escort his wife Elizabeth off the plane as he has always done, but is now told that he must give way to the crown. So he walks behind her, thereby paying homage to her as his queen. Later we see her sister, mother, and even grandmother also bowing to her as their queen. We democratic, all men are created equal, irreverent Americans really have no understanding of this. This is not to say anything for or against either a democracy or a monarchy. Indeed, we know that God didn't want Israel to have an earthly king, but he did want to himself be their king, and has used throughout Scripture the metaphor of both king and husband to describe the relationship that he has with us, man, created in his own image and likeness. Isaiah tells us that thy maker is thine husband. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, I am married unto you, and I was an husband unto them. From John the Baptist referring to himself as the friend of the bridegroom, who is Jesus, to Jesus referring to himself as the bridegroom, to Paul saying, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This metaphor of Christ as husband continues into the New Testament. There is one other instance I want to call attention to, which has been especially meaningful for me. It is Romans 7, where Paul tells us that we must become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring fruit unto God. As long as we are married to the law, we cannot know Christ as husband and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. No, we can only bring forth the works of the flesh, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, etc. The very sins attributed by God to Israel when using the metaphor of himself as husband to them. Indeed, the entire book of Hosea is this metaphor. More than that, the whole of the Old Testament is the story of mankind who was under the law that was given by Moses. Mankind committing adultery against God because in their humanity they cannot do otherwise. God's longing for them to return to him, so eloquently expressed so many times, was not enough. Even the best of them went astray. Noah got drunk. Jacob deceived his brother. Rachel stole her father's household gods to take with her when leaving with Jacob to serve his god. Aaron fashioned a golden calf for the children of Israel to worship. David took another man's wife for himself. The list goes on. It was not until grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and that same Christ took up his abode in man to live as man, was man even capable of walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. He could do this only when he, like Paul, recognized that only the Christ in him had that capacity and therefore reckoned his humanity to be dead. In Ephesians 5, the scripture that has given rise to all this submission teaching, which oftentimes enslaves women to their husbands, Paul says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Here Paul describes the intimacy of our relationship to the Christ. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Yet this husband is also king, before whom we must bow, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, who always has the preeminence, unchallenged superiority. The disciple John, whom Jesus loved, and whom we see leaning on Jesus' bosom, is the same John who wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here we see that, when faced with the ascended Christ, John fell at his feet as dead. The TV drama that I referred to in the beginning of this contemplation is but another parable from everyday life which illustrates the nature of our relationship with our Father God, who descended into this world that we had created in the form of Jesus to show his great love for us and cast out the fear of the law God, which had kept us in bondage all our lives. While the intimacy of the relationship is always stressed, the husband metaphor as well as the parent, Abba Father metaphor, to take away the fear that paralyzes us, we must yet retain the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, that deep reverence we observe in the Apostle John. When I lose sight of the intimacy, I find myself once again serving the law God who instills fear in me. But if I lose my sense of reverence, I find myself on a giant ego trip which leads to my downfall. While it is true that Jesus Christ hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, we must never forget that he is King of Kings, before whom we fall on our face in worship, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. We always acknowledge both our gratitude for the intimacy of the relationship, I and my Father are one, and our understanding that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.